You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hear ye, hear ye. The regular season is over. Cash Game King season is over, and we have now many more millionaires on behalf of Best Ball. We have two of them on the show with us today. Does that mean that you can expect the best type of Best Ball playoff analysis? Absolutely not. In fact, it will probably go off the rails like so much of the regular season has, but that's okay. It's a Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com.
Please don't dupe me, bro.
I'm begging you, don't dupe me, bro.
It's the poop narrative.
Kitchen's been waiting to say those words.
No.
For 5 years.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Swolecast. Boy, it is going to be a fun show. No Mr. Tuttle 05 on the show. That's not what's going to make it a fun show, though. It's just going to be fun because we have these other two guys on. It's just a star-studded cast. For those just now tuning in, the Swolecast, it's going to be an award-winning show and in the future, but right now we have two guys on that are pretty much experts. So without further ado, let me get to this. I'm Soccer Dave. Former DraftKings pro, former best ball finalist in 2021. Also DraftKings best ball finalist 2023, 159th. Also on the show, Peter Overzet. Peter, one of the noted entertainers in the industry, coined the phrase, you have to stack in week 17. New dad. And just a great expert, writes the newsletter for the Fantasy Life newsletter. We also have Pat Corain on. Pat Corain just won $2 million in the Underdog Best Ball BBM 3 Championship. So literally a millionaire right now. We're talking to him also on Roto World and NBC Sports. Chess Liam. Chess Liam won the Best Ball Mania 2, I believe. Former.
That is the math.
Yeah.
Two comes before three.
High stakes stuff. And one of the premier best ball guys in the industry. And David Smatic, newly married. So that will do it for.
That was,
the, is this a script?
Is that, was that the whole bit?
That, no, was,
that,
bit.
That was a long walk, Steph, man.
What?
I finished 69th in the FFPC main event. That's going. Should I, is that good enough to put in the bio? Is that funny enough? We need that. We need to do the math on this.
Yeah,
that's
all right. Well,
what team was that, Davis? Was that the Silva team?
No, the Silva team would have had an insane playoffs, though. No, this was a team that I did with a bunch of my gambling buddies. We've been rolling this. We've been rolling over free entries since 2018. So one of these years. It's gonna
I think I was in that draft with you, Davis.
You were. Right. So was some of the gambling and some of Deposit Kingdom bros. Andrew Hugel was in there. But yeah, you were in that one, Liam. You took Dalton Schultz in the fourth round.
That's not quite true. We took Dalton Schultz in the sixth over Kittle when we already had Debo. And our team almost made it. It was a good team, but...
Yeah, totally.
How active are you guys going to be for like the Saturday, Sunday DraftKings slate, all the playoff best ball stuff? Like, are you as active as you have been in the past, or is anyone like taking a little bit of a rest? Peter, we'll start with you.
Taking a rest? I mean, Davis and I have no chance to take a rest. We're not millionaires.
Yeah, we are $1.99 million behind Packerade, so we have a lot of ground to make up.
Do you want to know how fucked up this shit is, Kitchen? Like, I'm looking at these top prize pools, and I'm like, 200,000. I'm like, that's a tenth of what Pat won. This fucking sucks. I can't even get excited to win the Gauntlet 2, Kitchen. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
I know that Peter is feeling pressed because I woke up to a DM from him asking me if he wants to split an entry into the NFFC postseason Hold'em. So we are in this
now, Peter. That was an act of friendship. Okay. Peter,
no, I'm on the same wavelength as you. This is gonna be the most postseason contest I have ever entered because I cannot go through another fucking trip around this planet without winning something. Just something. It's getting so tilting at this point.
Look what you did, Pat.
Pat, I mean, I feel like...
What about you?
No, I'm not going to be doing a ton of the the DFS. I mean, I'm doing a lot of the FFPC playoff contest entries. I always like that contest, but I don't think I'm going to be doing a ton of Saturday.
How many's a lot?
We have 75 on Ship Chasing, I think. And we'll probably fire a couple extra.
Whoa.
And you guys will probably win, and all the credit will go to Corrine and not to Peter, for sure.
Should not go to me for the FFPC one, I'll tell you that much.
And like when they name the team Pat and friends.
When they enter stuff, Pete's like, hey, you can just enter it for me, right?
You can put it on the fee. No, you got to put it on his account. The key is to have it on your account.
No, they're all on Leone's, and they're all titled ETR-SC1, ETR-SC2. So the branding's already on lock.
Yeah.
All right. Pat, just real quick question. What is, like, something that you have bought since winning $2 million, like, of notes? Like, you... Like, one gift you've afforded to yourself, like, yeah, this is what I want.
In Kitchen's head, Pat, like, opened up a Sky Mall catalog, like, directly after winning.
He bought himself a cold plunge tub.
Dave, you asked me this question, too. After Pat answers, how about you tell us what you would buy? Because clearly that's what you're...
I mean, I will tell you what I have bought in the past.
I haven't bought anything so far. I mean, I've ordered a few extra things on my takeout orders that I might have done, but
like
so far
like
I haven't bought.
Like, give us like the few extras that you maybe would have not done in the past that you are now.
You know, you get the guac and chips added on.
Oh yeah,
I can add the guac. I'm gonna add the guac.
Dave, he lives in New York City, so the guac and chips is like $37 extra.
I love it. Okay. I think I've shared with people before, like, the first big win, I got a pair of Uggs. The second big win I had, I got a rower that was used maybe a dozen times, but it was with good intent. So those are the big gifts I afforded myself, both on the opposite ends of the spectrum. So also, Pat, since winning the $2 million, last year, last offseason, Liam went into like the big boy leagues, the leagues that he would have not gone in previously. I want to know, are you going to step up your entry game in the off season and compete with Liam for high stakes king?
Well, I already toppled him in one tournament and took his crown there. So, you know, I got to come for the 5-5-5 crown now.
I'm glad we have all five here. So, I, you know, had Pat on for five streams of Best Ball Mania, and unquestionably, I think
were those
he learned
the five days I couldn't make it, Liam.
You big time me until the end, so you, that's why you didn't get any of the luck, you know, rub off. So, you know, I think Pat definitely learned how to win Best Ball Mania from my channel. But what's a fair percentage, Dave? 10%. Obviously, my tree gets residuals.
I would say the fact that that you could claim him maybe in your tree.
I discovered Pat Curry.
Or just latch basically, on.
It's a multi-level marketing like pyramid scheme. So like all of it funnels up to the top to Kitchen. So I get a cut below Kitchen, and then Liam gets a cut below
me. I'm higher on Dave's tree than any of you chuckleheads.
Davis, you're more of a shrub though, as it pertains to kind of the best of all millionaires.
I mean, right. Look, I made a final in the Pomeranian. It's fine.
Yeah, dude,
how has Kitchen gotten us to argue? We're now arguing about where we stand on his tree, whether or not we're in his tree. I mean,
this is how he wins. This is how he wins. He frames it. He frames it as a way for us to fight amongst ourselves.
Okay, let's talk about this weekend.
Dave, your gain is out of control. Out of control.
And we're not talking about the gains in the gym, Dave.
I know you guys are usually a Sunday show. Are we doing both slates, I assume?
I think we talked about doing Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. And then we can draft some mittens, maybe.
All right.
I drafted my first mitten today. You know, I like to prepare for the show. So sure.
I would love to see the monstrosity you built with your first bullet.
I knew
one of these Brock Purdy at pick 12 guys. I can tell.
Yeah, it was a Brock Purdy on my team. He was the first quarterback taken.
Kitchen, so, I have a question for you. I mean, this is the first time since Overzet joined our crew that the Titans have not been in this wild card weekend. I mean, what are the emotions here not having King Henry as the most obvious week one fade? Like, how is that feeling? Like, that early Saturday game, we are not going to be forced to watch your Titans. How does that make you feel?
I had mixed emotions. So a little bit of just behind the scenes, Dan invited me, Cal, over his place. He was wearing a full Kirk Jaguars jersey. And, you know, he was all about the Jags. I had mixed emotions. Like, I feel like cheering for your team to lose and not make the playoffs is a beta move. But that's kind of how I felt, because I knew there's no chance they're getting past the first round. And I just want them to address some serious issues that they have in the personnel department. So I'm okay. I'm okay right now. I really am. And I hope the Jags die a slow death in their game.
I think the Jags can straight up beat the Chargers, to be honest.
I don't even know if that's a hot take.
So does Vegas. They're like 2-point favorites.
Interesting.
Kitchen, is Dan a gracious winner? Was he rubbing it in your face? What's it like to sweat a game with Dan Bach?
Yeah, doesn't he live in Jacksonville and you live in Tennessee? Like, did you fly there?
He just moved to town. So he was okay. There was one instance where he started clapping in my face, and I said, Dan, don't be that guy. Like, after, you know, but other than that, he was fine. And, you know, he's got a kid in middle school, and he actually told Dan during the game he was a Titans fan. And so I felt kind of bad for him, because it was just literally Dan by himself cheering with all these other Titans fans.
Wait, does that mean Dan's kid has been in Tennessee schools for like 6 months and already got converted to the local?
Yep. I did not like that as a kid.
I was does
it take that much to convert from Jaguars to, you know, to the grit and culture of the Tennessee Titans? Probably not.
That wasn't me. I was like, Trent Edwards is the savior of the Bills.
He picked the wrong time to flip sides there. That's for sure.
Well, I'm not going to tell him. I just welcomed him with open arms. So, that's how I feel about this weekend slate. But I'm excited. Like, the next two weekends are going to be fun. And, you know, I'll be definitely cheering on the hype. I just don't want any boring games. I don't want any blowouts. I want high scoring, fun games.
Miami Buffalo is going to be a read a book game, I think. I'm not really that interested in watching like Devin Singletary and James Cook in the second half. Doesn't sound that fun.
I will be. Go Bills onslaughts.
Go Bills.
Kitchen, do you want me to do the overset overview?
Yeah, there's not a graphic or video this week, though, Peter. Yeah. So you just got to go for it.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, Peter Overzet with the Overzet's overview.
Thank you. I did prepare a few comments here. Oh, thank you. Look at Sosa found the default StreamYard music setting. Congratulations. Sosa evolving as a producer in front of our eyes. All right. Cash game week has come and gone. I won 66% of my head-to-heads, and I received messages from the other 34% on Twitter. Davis and I had the same dusty-ass lineup with Albert O in it. At least we scored more points than Levitan, though. It's the small victories. In-N-Out announced it would be opening up locations in Nashville. David Kitchen's diet has been postponed a decade. congrats to Evan Silva on hitting his long shot bet on Jamal Williams to lead the league in TDs. If only we could see what other dog shit stuff he bet. Playoff best ball contests are here, so we had to bring on a post-tax best ball millionaire as well as Liam Murphy. As for DFS, DraftKings has given us a handful of contests that feature the entire wildcard weekend slate with hundreds of dollars up top. And because Liam is here, I don't have to break down the full slate since we know the answer to the test surely involves Jamison Crowder in onslaughting the Bills. Back to you, Dave.
All right. He literally just said Bills onslaught. So
that's why when you guys start trampling over my jokes, I know it's time to do the overzet.
Yeah. All right. So any hot takes for this weekend, Patrick?
Any hot takes? What about Seattle? Seattle live against 49ers. That's a hot take.
I think they are. Like, is it going to be shocking if Brock Purdy throws three picks, and they get bounced?
That is the scenario in which Brock Purdy gets like really overwhelmed and plays like CJ Beathard is how they lose. I think that's probably not live to happen against the Seahawks because their defense is so bad. Their pass rush is good, but the secondary is so brutal. I think that's probably much more live. Like, the Giants like randomly beating them or something like that feels way more live to me than the Seahawks doing it.
Ken Walker rips off a couple touchdowns. DK Metcalf shrugs off a guy. They luck.
Sure. I mean, I'm selling. I'm already very anti Shanahan. So you're selling me on it right now.
My take is that the spreads for the Seahawks 49ers game and the Ravens Bengals game should be flipped. Like the Bengals should be 10-point favorites and the Niners should be 7-point favorites.
You feel that way if Lamar plays? Yes.
Lamar's not playing.
100%.
Hey, Lamar's not
playing.
Like
99. I don't know if Pat, tell him.
He's not playing. He's dealing with significant swelling in his knee.
You heard it from a best ball millionaire who's still grinding out Roto World blurbs.
They got him under contract for decades.
Yeah. I gotta. A lot of this money is going to a lawyer to review this contract.
Yeah, he's well, you got in contact with Denny's lawyers who are already the best in the business.
Denny's lawyers are not good, as it turns out.
I mean, do we want to do Saturday slate first, or full or multi weekend slate, or do we?
Let's just do multi weekend slate. Like Pete said, there's dozens of dollars up top, so let's see what we got.
$100K up top for a 2-day slate is actually pretty generous from DraftKings.com. I was surprised to see $100K.
$100K doesn't make it move anymore, Davis.
Peter, we're doing the best we can, buddy. I don't think we're gonna make it all back in one trade. It might be like a 3-trade type thing.
We need another Top Shot bull run.
Hey, how many injuries?
That would also be good for me though. But
we all co-own a dusty Zion bowl, yes. And he just got hurt again.
God, how many entries were in the underdog BBM 3?
Like 460,000.
Yeah.
I think 453,000.
That is crazy. I know, like, the DraftKings was, like, I think 400,000 or 350,000.
No, DraftKings was 800. No, it was, like, 860,000.
And that's why, Kitchen, I think you making it to the finals of that is arguably more impressive than Pat winning
like,
BBM.
This is what the angle I was going for. Like, if you take the percentage, the ratio – And I had a shot too.
How did you finish in that?
Like 150th. Basically, no Mike Evans, no money. So I didn't have.
Okay, I got a real football question because people are pretty split on this. The Cowboys Buccaneers game. Everyone's got the dueling takes on this. The Cowboys always lose in the playoffs. Brady always owns in the playoffs. Brady has never lost to the Cowboys in like his 97 year career. But just via every objective metric, the Cowboys are a better team. I think this is the hardest one to solve for the mitten, for these playoff contests. I think figuring this game out, honestly, I think if you just took a stance and didn't try and middle it, I think so many teams are like going to middle it where they're going to like soft fade these teams and not take a really hard stance. I want takes.
My take is that everyone, like the narratives, like this is what always happens in the past, are generally fish narratives. And, you know, I think the Cowboys could just blow them out. Am I going to take some bucks in the mitten contest just because they're cheap and you can backstack them? Yes, but I think everyone's getting afraid of the Cowboys. They're getting back three starters. They're getting back their center. They're getting back Van Der Esch at linebacker and someone else. And I think the Cowboys are going to be fine and win this game, and they are comfortably top six to win the Super Bowl at six.
I agree with Davis's take that the field, at least in terms of like the FFPC contest, is probably going to underpick the game. And that could be an edge of just like, you know, making sure you're not playing it on both sides.
Man. Yeah. That was a bad game by him last week. Can I just throw in one little, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I was shocked. I did some digging into rankings for next year. Tony Pollard's ranking for next year shocked me. Like where people have him.
Well,
what does digging in entail, Kitchen? How long did you spend on
this? Typing in Google and then clicking the links.
Yeah, he went
to. That's like you visited one website.
He went to 2023 Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus Rankings.
No, I didn't. It wasn't even Fantasy Pros. It was probably some SEO farm. But no, I looked at a few sites, including PFF. You know, whatever is free, whatever is out there, I looked at. Where would you guess that Pollard is being ranked for next year?
Like back end of the second round?
Yeah, that's where I'd have him.
Yeah, too. Top 30.
Like anywhere from 12 to 17 is where I saw.
Isn't he a free agent, though, right?
He's a free agent. That's why.
Yeah.
He's an unrestricted free agent, and there is a punitive but not franchise-altering out in Ezekiel Elliott's contract as well. It's still big. But it's not like you know, trying to get rid of Deshaun Jackson's contract or whatever. Like he would be $10 million dead against the cap, which is like teams eat $10 million against the cap all the time in the NFL. Kellen Moore is getting a worrying thing maybe is that Kellen Moore is getting head coaching interviews this offseason again.
Yeah, although if they were to get rid of Zeke and have Pollard installed as the lead back, I guess I wouldn't be so concerned about how sharp the offense is.
True. Yeah. Who cares? Right.
Yeah.
How annoying is it going to be then when Malik Davis then becomes the next thorn in the side? It's like Malik Davis is getting 9.5 touches per game. And we're like, Jesus Christ,
he looks good.
This is Ben Tate. This is just Ben Tate all over again.
Okay. Let's briefly talk about quarterbacks. Any other quarterback other than Josh Allen that you guys like this weekend?
And I really like Lawrence. Lawrence like doubles with like a Josh Palmer bring back just feels like that's gonna win someone hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
I mean, you got to roll out some Danny Dimes and some Burrow.
Yeah, I was gonna ask Pete about.
I don't know about Burrow. How much are the Ravens gonna? I mean, are we just gonna see basically a repeat of the game we just saw, where they're not forced to throw the ball?
They could score 30 at half, like if Jamar.
That's true.
A couple.
Well, with the limited field size too, you kind of want everyone to be thinking like Davis is thinking right now, just like, you know, it's not gonna happen. Yada yada yada.
Yeah, it was like Burrow's two worst EPA games against the Ravens too. People, like, I saw that on Twitter.
Well, so what about Herbert? I mean, I know like that's not going to be as popular, but you've got a really bad Jacksonville pass defense, really bad. And I mean, if Williams isn't 100%, that's a pretty easy stack with Keenan.
I actually think Herbert Williams being out would make Herbert more popular because Herbert probably. Palmer is so cheap.
Well, what do you guys think the order is just for the Saturday slate, the ownership of the quarterbacks? Who's going to be second? Who's going to be third? Who's going to be first between the big three?
Aren't there two games on the Saturday slate?
Yeah, but who's going to be – what's the order of –
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, who is first between Lawrence, Herbert, Purdy? Because, like, obviously in the playoff drafts, people are falling over themselves to select Purdy, but are they going to treat him like that?
It'll be Herbert, Lawrence, Purdy, Geno, with Geno making up, like, way less than 25% of that. Geno making up, like, 10 to 14% of that.
I'm just not sure Purdy will be third, though.
Interesting.
You think Purdy over Lawrence?
Well, I mean, everyone's so cheap. Lawrence and Purdy are the same price, pretty much, and Herbert's $1,000 more. So if people are taking CMC, Kittle, Debo, they're probably going to throw in Purdy.
Yeah. Although I think people, they like to look at those spreads and then just play like the game script that they like. And so you're going to see a ton of CMC. You're going to see some Eli Mitchell, and people are going to want to play the closer spreads as the shootout. So you're going to see a lot of Herbert, a lot of Lawrence. And then we haven't mentioned them yet, but like on the full 6 or 3 day slate, I mean, Cousins and Daniel Jones in the dome, they're both bad defenses. Like that game could get nutty. Like if one game is like 40 to 34, it's definitely that game.
That seems right. And right. Everyone's most recent memory is of Justin Jefferson costing them a theoretical million. You know, everyone who had Justin Jefferson in the best ball finals is like, he sucked. He sucked. He's no good. I don't want him anymore. I'm playing KJ Osborne and TJ Hockenson in my Viking stacks.
Are you guys fading Hockenson on the Sunday slate just because his last time against the Giants, he scored 40 points? Like, is he going to be over jammed?
I honestly don't think the field conceives of things that way.
I agree. And also people have just been skeptical of Hockenson for a really long time, even with things set up well for him on paper this year. Heading
the choices
in
are likely Knox, Hockenson, Andrews, maybe.
I think you see Andrews get pumped up at 5,200, even with like Anthony Brown or whatever, a quarterback.
Okay, let's make a lineup.
You could see a lot of Cousins doubles with Hawk.
Peter, which slate are we making this for?
Last question before we make this. Is Miami pieces dead with Skylar Thompson at quarterback?
Yes. I think Tyreek becomes like a multi-generational leverage play that will return $0 in this lifetime, but you can tell yourself going to bed that night, at least you made like a good Sklansky play.
What about Wilson, honestly, with no Mostert?
I think he's the guy who ends up getting played a lot, actually.
Especially because the last time the Bills played the Dolphins, they like were like, run on us. Like, we're not letting you beat us with Tyreek. They bracketed Tyreek and they put Trey White on Waddle, who's not fast enough for Waddle.
We do have a 5K Guinness time challenge Saturday through Monday free roll because DraftKings just is always giving back to us, the users.
I mean, how do we not jam that in?
Let's jam it.
So this is the 6-game slate?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
It's going to be amazing to see all my lineups that are dead because I missed someone gnarly on Saturday and just have that sitting in my contest for 72 hours. Like, that's going to be really special.
What do you guys think is more likely to win? A, like, 1%? Or lower owned player being on the winning team. So like this is like a Quentin Morris or like the backup tight end of the Dolphins, something like that, or just playing like a lower owned teams, a la the Seahawks, a la
lower owned teams, way more likely.
Well, the 6-game slate, yeah. Like a 2-game slate, you're gonna have to get a little crazy.
I don't know. Yeah. We saw Jack Doyle do it that one year in the playoff challenge even.
Oh, don't remind me of continually playing Nyheim Hines in those tournaments and him never, ever, 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 ever getting there when the Colts would get shelled in those games.
Hines builds D stacks.
I want to say it was like the Cowboys and Colts game. I forget where they called Amari Cooper out and he was in. It was something to that effect.
Are you talking about the Dez caught it game?
No, it wasn't Dez. This is after Dez, but
eight-year anniversary of that no call.
Oof.
Okay, so let's do the six-game slate, and we'll let the best ball millionaire make the first pick.
Good, oh, sorry. I was gonna say, we can't let Liam go because he's chewed up nine of the slots.
I'm sorry. I should clarify. The Best Buy multimillionaire make the first pick.
I'm north of one.
You are north of one. That's right.
Live winnings. Check his Hendon mob, bro.
So I'll go with the guy that I feel like I thought would be really popular in all these contests, and then maybe I'm just like way overconfident in. But I'll go Travis Etienne, who I think is in a pretty nice spot, but I feel like maybe the field isn't as into him as I thought they would be. So
I had the same thought, Pat. He just immediately jumped out to me in all these contests as like the dude, because the Chargers stink.
Do we care that he doesn't catch passes?
Not in this matchup.
Do we care that Kenneth Walker doesn't catch passes? He just gets it, bro.
We'll say that RG's highest RG value projected running back is Travis Etienne. So
there you go.
Company man.
Pete knows some grinders are out of the lobbies right now. He's trying to.
Yeah, Pete, up. I'm coming after you right
Pete's
now.
Pete's drafting a mitten right now.
Come on. Snitches get stitches. Chad, be
oh,
better.
My gosh. You have a problem, Pete. If you are still drafting, like.
Well, here's
the
thing.
We get on Davis a lot and Tuttle for the. But this is up there.
Well, as a stockholder. In Underdog, yeah. I'm trying to keep money in the ecosystem because Pat just yanked $2 million off the site. So some of us need to keep the liquidity up.
Pat, did you withdraw all two? You didn't leave like 10K?
I withdrew all two, yeah.
Oh, wow. My gosh, you did?
Didn't leave anything for the playoff contest?
You literally had $15 in your account?
It was two, because I asked you how much, and it was just too tempting to just say. $2 million.
I agree with Pat. You're
gonna be depositing.
I will be depositing, but the $2 million withdrawal felt worth the later deposits.
Yeah,
like I get it, but how good would it feel to just withdraw like $1,990,000 and still have like $10,000 like on the site?
Hey, Dave, not as good as withdrawing $2 million. I bet.
I guess got to get those deposit rewards. Pat's so not going to deposit until they offer him some sort of deal.
Yeah, he's going to DM Rudman and be like, "Hey, dude, can I get a deposit bonus? You know, BBM three champ deposit bonus.
First time depositor, I swear."
So we have ETN, and then I'll let you in between picks. I'll let you make a pick, Peter.
Thank you. Best ball millionaire sandwich. Let's do the Hawkinson thing. If the take is he's not going to be jammed, let's play some Hawk.
I'm guessing Chargers Jags will be the most stacked for the sixth game.
Yeah.
I agree. Right. I agree.
And it's like not that much better of a game environment than really a lot of the other games, in my opinion.
Okay, Liam, who are you going with?
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
No. Boy.
QB1.
Where do you get your ideas?
Can't teach old dog new tricks. Okay, Davis, you want to stack Josh Allen with anybody?
By the way, that Gabe Davis drop touchdown, like that cost me so like I would have won some contests, I think. And I was like, Gabe, your loyalist supporter, you do this too?
I think the whole Gabe Davis thing costs you more credibility than money as far as value goes.
Well, no. I mean,
you were quote tweeting people earlier saying, who are they? Who are they? Who are the Gabe Davis
haters?
Dave,
as Pat would teach you, you want to be targeting these boom bust guys in contests, even at expensive costs.
Like Jacoby Myers?
No, but that, you can't be drafting Jacoby Myers. People. You just can't do it.
That is different. That was bad structure by Pat, and you got lucky on that.
Wow. He just got lucky, bro.
Davis is drafting a mitten draft as well.
I'm not gonna get out worse, dude. You
I have to say,
I'm gonna take Tyreek.
Nice.
Okay.
I was on the one guy who's like quarterback proof, but it feels like the Bills will be like beat us any other way.
Okay, but yeah, but Tyreek Hill is going to be 2% owned, so I'm going to take that.
No, no, I'll play some Tyreek too.
Okay, so it's me. I like to typically pair my quarterbacks. Diggs seems like the guy, but let's go with someone else and try to win it all.
Isaiah McKenzie,
James Cook.
Let's go with Gabe Davis.
Okay,
both Gabe Davis.
I like it.
Guys, we got through a kitchen pick without him completely ruining it. I think we're just running hot here.
Davis.
Pat, down to you. I know you're on a mitten draft or something.
I'm looking up.
Robust rope.
He doesn't have enough money in his account to draft.
He's depositing. Hey, run
Pat said this, you got this lineup doesn't. Credit? Pat said this lineup doesn't have enough running backs, so I expect him to remedy that with this pick.
I got his own running back.
Well, I'm gonna snipe Liam here. I'm gonna go James Cook.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was gonna do. Perfect.
Yeah.
I think the Bills have been saving James Cook for the playoffs. Singletary's fumble last game solidified it for them. I think we were gonna see it in the Bengals game, but Cook is RB1 of the Bills.
The year is 2025. James Cook is on the last year of his rookie deal, and Liam is going to be talking about how Devin Singletary is going to be benched anytime now, and James Cook is really going to finally be unleashed in the second half of the season.
Singletary's not even going to be with the Bills next year, I don't think.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent.
I bet they McKinnon it, and I bet he gets no offers, and he gets invited to Josh Allen's offseason wedding, and he ends up back on the team.
But James Cook is McKinnon for the Bills.
Could be.
Okay, let's move on. Peter, you're up.
Let's play this as Jags smash the Chargers, and let's do Jags D.
I okay. love it.
That's fun.
Damn, Jags D is actually a great pick because even in a win, Herbert probably throws two picks.
Okay, so let's we've weird got
and throw Knox into the flex.
God,
jeez.
That's the most Liam pick I've ever seen.
Hey, where do you get your ideas, dude?
Overstacking a team is one way to get unique.
Okay, so Davis, we have 6,500 left for a wide receiver.
6,500 left for a wide receiver.
So, yo, Chris Godwin, DK Metcalf.
I think we are non-chalky enough here to just take Godwin, who I think is going to be super popular in this league. People love Godwin. I would say if this lineup was chalkier, you would want to do Metcalf probably.
This is a nice team.
Yeah,
it is.
It's not bad for sure.
It's pleasant.
How many showdowns are you going to do, Davis? You're going to do a showdown for every playoff slate?
Yeah.
You're sick. Okay. All right.
Steve, how's your mitten team work out?
Yeah.
I've been experimenting with some Chief builds and then onslaughting the Seahawks at the end. It's going good. We're in a good place right now.
How much? Okay, this is just coming from someone who, you know, me. I don't do a ton of research before the show. Mm-hmm. Who just done one mitten draft?
Tell us your team.
I didn't even finish it because I had to like get all the setup stuff in this bonus room. So I don't even know who is left on this.
Show us the team.
Auto down.
I demand you show us this team right now. The people need some comedy in their lives.
My phone is my camera, so let me try to pull up the website.
Oh my god!
Wait, underdog.com doesn't work.
And it's Underdog Fantasy.
Got it. All right. But anyways, how much does draft order affect things? Like, are you just screwed if you get a different
No, but team? There are just some teams you don't have access to if you're drafting out of a certain slot because there are four quarterbacks that go in the first six picks. So your draft slot does determine what you're going to be doing.
Okay. So what is your preferred draft spot then? Is it one? Because Peter, set the scene for how the mitten works. Because like I didn't even know that it was six players in a mitten.
Six drafters. Yeah. So they've had a bunch of these playoff contests that all have relatively the same format, but this latest mitten top two advance instead of the top one, which actually opens you up to more bye week type builds that would probably be dead in one out of six advancing. And then the puzzle is it's not cumulative scoring. It's basically an uncorrelated tournament each round. So you're trying to, one, advance out of the wildcard weekend, out of the divisional, out of the conference championship, while still having enough ammo to get together a five-man starting roster for the Super Bowl, I think is the best description of it.
That was a good description.
Okay.
But Kitchen, stop. Just read the team. We need it.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up now. So let me see.
What are we making the odds that Kitchen has both an intact wildcard round lineup and an intact five-man
0%
lineup? I quickly realized after I drafted it that that maybe I should have checked on correlation before I entered the draft. But some people learn by immersion.
The first thing you do is you read the rules of the contest you're playing. Little trick of the trade.
Immersion learning. I love Dave's immersion learning thought process. So what's my favorite draft slot is three, because you can get Mahomes and you don't get shut out if you happen to be in one of these rooms that is a Brock Purdy 12th overall type room. You don't get shut out. You can be like, all right, well, I guess I got to take Kirk Cousins at 30 or whatever. Like you can figure out your week one quarterback that way.
Davis, let me ask you, what is this?
It's already.
I told you,
I see four players all in a different team in this one.
This is impossible.
Davis, do you think this year's Chiefs are better with the better O-line or last year's Chiefs are better with Tyreek?
Chiefs are better.
Yeah, I think this year's Chiefs are worse than the Bengals and the Bills.
I'm in this with a bunch of badge bros, and they just completely took advantage of me, I feel like.
Read off the team, Kitchen, and kind of talk us through your thought process.
They took advantage of him.
Just Steph Diggs at four, bringing it around back around with Travis Kelce.
He took Brock Purdy in the third unstacked. This
is sick. I
didn't know how quickly the quarterbacks go, so I picked Purdy and then paired him with Brandon Ayuk. Figured it was good to get some running back, so then went with Pollard.
Was your goal to pick one player from every Kitchen?
You did that, and you're like, good on San Francisco. Don't
you have a four-man roster if it's Chiefs, Niners, so that's maybe live.
What if this is the life you need, though? Like, you guys don't know. What's my mantra?
Live a little.
This is living too much, Dave.
People, Lunchable connoisseur, do they not remember who was the BBN3 finalist? It was actually DraftKings finalist. Out of 800,000 entries, 159th. But, this is my team.
Comments, so.
It's a learning experience. I didn't know. So... this is, you're kind of learning on the fly. And now I do know that you want to make sure you have a quarterback in each playoff round. So, roast my team. But we learned a lot, and that's all that matters.
It's honestly like the worst possible team you could draft.
like not straying from ADP and just picking like who is available roughly. This is actually the worst thing you could, because it's not even a team that could get its money back for sure in round one, because it's got bye week guys too. Like
you have a four man team for also Ravens now. So.
Thank you. See, I feel like Liam is the one that's kind of looking at the bright side.
Yeah, I'm an optimist.
Glass half full. So I appreciate that. So tell me what I should have done here then.
All right, we'll scroll up to the top.
David, you're trying to draft a five-man Super Bowl team of the teams in a given draft that you think is most likely. So you want to have five available players for an AFC-NFC Super Bowl matchup.
Got it.
So typically with Diggs, you would probably, instead of taking Kelce, unless you're going to onslaught.
You take an NFC player.
Yeah.
Like Kittle.
Take a Jefferson, take a CeeDee Lamb.
Got it. And so do you want your quarterbacks to be one AFC, one NFC?
You don't need to.
Sort of depends on the bracket. Like, for example, if you took Burrow, you would not want to be taking any Bills. But I actually think you could take, for example, you could take Mahomes and who would be, they're not going to win, but theoretically it would be, you could take Lamar Jackson if you thought he was going to play or whatever. You just wouldn't want them to meet until the conference championship for expected points, probably.
Peter, how important is the quarterback position with these mittens?
If I reach for Brock Purdy there, I'm playing the Niners to the Super Bowl and assuming that Brock Purdy plays well, and I'm not drafting Justin Herbert, and I'm certainly not drafting Justin Herbert without any other Chargers on.
Well, that, again, after that, I was so I also had to like make rankings for this because in Tennessee you have to create rankings, otherwise you can't enter a contest. So that was a whole other step I was not expecting, anticipating. So
I'm pretty sure, Kitchen, just for that, you can just import the default and then like move one thing around and then it counts as your rankings.
Well, anyways, learning.
But I
experience.
Do like the idea of you handcrafting your entire rankings for the playoffs.
Artisanal bespoke playoff best ball rankings by Soccer Dave.
He's going to auto draft 150. He doesn't have time for this.
Okay. Truly bespoke because they serve one man.
You guys don't understand, though. I'm a man of the people. This doesn't just happen to me. I guarantee you, someone who enters a draft unprepared, this happens to them as well. I am just merely a tool and a vessel for those people so that they can see some of the mistakes I've made and learn from them. And I'm willing to take on that $5 in negative EV.
So to be clear, your plan is to go into things unprepared as a way of helping the people.
I wanted to understand what the mitten was.
You just asked me what the rules were in the entire structure.
You had to experience it first.
I had to experience it. Like, no, I wasn't asking, Peter, I was asking you for the people. So I have it, I get it.
So remove Dave criticism from your point of view.
Yeah, if everyone would just go ahead and like and subscribe and to get more, just expert / just regular Joe analysis. A lot of people just on the shows, they just all claim to be experts. Me, I don't claim always to be an expert. In fact, I always like to say I'm always learning. I'm continuing to evolve.
What about when you mentioned your DK Pro?
Yeah.
Well, that was something I was an expert in, obviously.
yeah, totally.
I wanted to give a shout out to some of the people that get it. Ross Torgerson says, this was from last Swolecast video. I enjoy the entertainment factor this show provides. If I wanted to watch horrible, dry fantasy content, I would head over to Redacted Other Fantasy.
I read the comment.
It rhymes with romastic, though. I enjoy Davis's insight, but his bitterness with Dave's lack of effort on a weekly basis is entertaining to me and is a great ongoing bit that I enjoy way more. There's plenty of hard-o DFS content on YouTube, which makes me appreciate the Swolecast that much more. Four dudes just having a good time, making fun of each other, and talking a little DFS is what we need more of, IMO. Keep up the great work, fellas, especially Soccer Dave.
Yeah, I heard that in Biden's speech, actually. He was like, you know what America needs more of? Some entertaining.
I love how you
DFS
clip this,
content.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
To use this as a shield when we were ganging up on you too much at a point in the show. You're like, wait, let me read this flattering review.
Yeah, I had the flattering review pulled up. I was just wanted to find a point to put it in the show. All right. Any other mitten / playoff best ball takes that you guys like? What are the most stacked teams that you have at the moment, Patrick?
I bet you could guess for every single one of us.
I had a lot of Dallas stuff early.
I was going to guess Dallas for you. I was going to guess Bills for for Liam. I was going to guess Chiefs for Davis. And I didn't have a guess for Pete, but if I had to guess, I would guess
perfectly balanced exposures across all the teams.
Wow. Where do all four of us individually
That's
get our ideas?
A little, Pete.
Yeah, if I had to guess on Pete, it would be something like Bengals or something kind of out of the ordinary.
I do have a lot of Bengals. That's actually a pretty good guess, Dave.
Okay. All right. So what about like hot takes for stacks? If you could give me a piece of advice for who to stack, what's the top stack I need to look at?
Three.
Or top correlation.
Bills Mafia.
Okay.
The Bills are so hard to stack because you can't get their two best players together ever.
And it doesn't really make sense why that is. Like, why do people just give Chase Burrow? They're like, yeah, okay, Chase Burrow, you can have that when the Bengals are just as likely to go to the Super Bowl and are going to play.
It's probably people like me who are that guy who drafted Josh Allen, thought he was going to get Diggs. And, you know, not happening because I don't know the whole correlation of things.
My advice would be the market is just where the players are listed, and it's okay to just reach and grab players for your stacks, and you should be doing that.
Yeah.
Kitchen, this format is actually good for you because you can live a little. You can throw ADP out. You just need to be concentrated on a couple of teams.
I was going to ask Davis, as far as his drafting strategy, we know that he's kind of come around to the live a little strategy for 2023. I was going to ask him if he's already started kind of toying with that with some of these drafts.
No. I'm drafting five-man stacks of the three good AFC teams because I think the field is chasing their tail a little bit with the Chargers and the Jaguars. And these, I think there are only three teams. I think an AFC pick where you're not trying to make up for a bye week that's not a Bengal, a Chief, or a Charger, I think is basically drawing dead to make the Super Bowl.
But are you reaching in any rounds on any players above ADP?
Yes. To get the stacks. You have
to. There you go. That was my whole point in the 2022 offseason.
How are you building your Chief stuff, Davis? How are you feeling that bye week?
Honestly, a lot of Buccaneers, a lot of Godwin, Brady, Fournette at the end to get those week one points. The needle that is the hardest to thread, and actually a team that I think if you did 150 of these in a really thoughtful way, is figuring out a five-man Eagles Chiefs team where you're starting with Mahomes or with Eagles, where you get enough points week one to advance. Cause like, that is what, I mean, if you add up the equities of the Chiefs and the Eagles to win their conferences, it's like 30-ish% of the outcomes or whatever. Like, it's huge, but it's so hard to get those.
You don't even draft it together. If it's Eagles Chiefs, you could probably win with four man, or it could be like, there's plenty iterations of the playoff contests where no one's fielding a full team come the Super Bowl, and it's like random 3v3s. It's like my Tony and Pacheco versus your McKinnon and MBS. Like, that's a total viable outcome.
Okay. Hold on. It's time for Close Your Eyes. Peter?
This is going to be hard with this mitten draft.
And Patrick, close your eyes. Okay, are you ready? We know that there are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of these best ball teams, and you have to get super unique to win some of these tournaments. That means big time drafts or big time reaches in these drafts. I want you to imagine a quarterback that was 28 for 43, 373 yards, three tutties, just one interception, and a touchdown catch in his game in the Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl. Do you know who that person is?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's Nick Foles. So here's my question. Here's my question. 150 lineups. How many lineups do you draft Gardner Minshew?
Well, Nick Foles was the starter heading into the playoffs, so I have to have my
It doesn't eyes matter. Down. Still the same premise. Close your eyes, Pat.
It's not the same premise. Wentz tore his ACL in the regular season.
Close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
Pat, the same premise is that a backup comes in to lead his team to a Super Bowl. How much of this backup quarterback that is actually viable do you want to have in 150 lineups?
The only team I would say you could do it for is maybe the Niners, where they have a quarterback-proof offense.
Gardner Minshew could be the guy.
Or the Eagles, too, yeah. Gardner Minshew and whoever the Niners backup is, too.
Peter?
0%.
Best part of that was Peter attempting to look like he was closing his eyes and definitely looking at his eyes to see his screen. Davis, I know that you're at least somewhat intrigued by this theory. It's not full Siege, but it's just like a little sprinkle of Siege to win one of these best ball contests.
Well, the problem is
they're not big enough. These tournaments are not big enough to do that. Maybe if it was
no, it's big enough. It's just the problem is, like, let's say it's Bills Eagles. Okay, and you have Gardner Minshew. Congrats. You've lost to Josh Allen.
That's what people thought about Nick Foles to Tom Brady, who is in his GOAT period of like a season. So I mean,
Tom Brady is not Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen's floor is like,
so, like Josh Allen's had some bad losses. The point still remains.
That doesn't matter for fantasy points.
Yeah. Let's make a real point to what Dave's saying here. The thing about these contests is I would much rather play a team that people don't think is going to go far, that has legitimate fantasy studs, say like the Seahawks. I would rather play them as a contrarian angle, knowing if they win games, Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett are going to put up massive points. Geno Smith too. I'd rather play that outcome. Can we bank this year's Bengals or whatever that people don't see coming, as opposed to being like, I want to take the super thin guy on the Eagles or the Chiefs. Like, I don't want to take Justin Watson in my draft. Sorry, Davis. I mean, I'd rather be betting.
That's
on
because
some of
Noah.
These teams
that's
that
because
own.
Noah Gray is the 10th round Chief that you need.
But that's my point. Like, it's so much. The odds of those guys helping you, I think, are even less.
Noah Gray, two catches for 11 yards and a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He's going to be the guy you need to win $35,000 and get 1% of the way to catching up with Pat Curran.
What did you say, Liam?
I think the field's thinks similarly to you, and we should be trying to do things the
not
field.
In the drafts. No way. Like, well,
I think
people are slaves to their stacks.
Like,
and they're
like,
not.
I think the Seahawks get drafted at a infinitely higher clip than Gardner Minshew or Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
sure, but I mean, what are your odds of advancing? You have to advance every week. You have to get the team through. I mean, your odds of advancing
with eating a zero, giving up a roster spot to the field.
And in Gardner Minshew's case, he also has a bye week. So it's a zero, then a zero the next week. So you're eating two zeros. I just think your chances.
You don't know that, though. You don't know that something could happen to Hurts in practice.
What are you
saying? Could happen to Hurts in the game. That's the whole point, is you were drafting.
You never.
I'm not saying it's like draft Chad Henne. I'm thinking of guys that could legit put up numbers like a Minshew.
I will say you are directionally accurate to want low-owned players.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
How you achieve getting low-owned players to the Super Bowl is a task we all try to figure out on our own.
I just want to know if the backup strategy was any sort of was viable.
I have
with
seen
these
Jimmy
contests.
G taken in one draft, and it was a there Brock Purdy-Jimmy G combo.
I'd see that seems way – that seems like something I can actually see happen without an injury, where they're just like, Jimmy's our dude, he's back, he's healthy, like, let's do it.
I think he's worse than Purdy, but
– think about it this way, though, too. So, like, one other way I think about – like, I'll take Alexander Mattison. I'll take Samaje Perine being like, what if, you know, Dalvin Cook gets hurt in the first quarter or whatever? I don't think the Vikings are any, you know, worse for the wear with Mattison. Same with the Bengals if Mixon goes down. I think they're fine with Perine. But if you remove, like, you know – Jalen Hurts, or you remove, not only are you trying to hit the parlay of Hurts getting you to where you need to go and then getting hurt at the right time to have the backup, but then you're getting a huge hit to the team. In the same way, if Eckler goes down, I don't want to take Josh Kelly on drafts. Like, the Chargers are toast if Eckler goes down. So that's just kind of how I think about it.
Okay. All right. I think that will do it for the show. Appreciate the millionaires coming on. And not just talking about best ball, but you guys talked about, you know, just overall playoffs, who you guys liked, and DFS. Like, I feel like you guys were pretty well-rounded.
A general wisdom show.
Fit in great with the show, I feel like.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I was on this summer. You guys really lit the fire when you're asking me if I, you know, needed to maybe make a live final to be on this show, you know, to fit in.
And the first person I shouted out,
thank you. You know, I need motivation. It really helped.
Remember the bit where David like looked up obscure NFL draft players and was like, Crane, you don't know about this third round offensive lineman.
It was one of my favorite bits of all time. Just come on.
It was one of my favorite bits because David did something before the beginning of the program.
No heads up on my end, by the way. I come on to like talk prospects.
That's the whole thesis of the show.
It was amazing.
At 3:30, exclusive interview with Pat Crane, his first show since winning on my channel.
Okay. This is why you don't get paid, Liam, because you get
Dan just blocked me. I sent him my time card and he just blocked me.
He should. It takes a military act to get Davis to turn in his time card. So
that's not even true, bro.
I pulled a Davis last month. I had to get prompted to submit my
excuse.
They changed the way they did it in a confusing manner.
Yet everybody else got it except for Davis.
That's not even true, bro.
Yeah. It is.
Look,
true.
Buddy, David, here's the thing. You can tell it's a bear market when my Roto Grinders work log time cards are getting turned in on time. That's all I got to say.
All right. Davis, are we going to do this trip?
Oh, to Tampa Bay this weekend?
Laird invited us to go to the Tampa Bay game on Monday.
If you guys do, let me know. I'll come hang. I live in St. Louis.
I have some real life stuff that I gotta. I don't think I'm gonna be able to make it to work, which is brutal.
Take Corrine on the private jet.
Yeah,
get the PJ, right? Pat, fly us down.
Why is Laird not going to? Oh, is he on the Bucks roster?
He's on. He's Leonard Fournette's co-worker.
And Keyshawn Vaughn.
Nick in the chat, by the way, pointing out I could buy a better pickleball paddle, and I actually do think I will buy that. So,
you could start your own pickleball line.
There's been suggestions to buy a pickleball team.
Pickleball Pat. Word on the street is that the Super Bowl party is going to have a pickleball tournament. Jesus,
that's why I'm not going. Now I know why I declined.
Not the infant, but the
not even the reason he's not going, bro.
What is it for?
Would it be in Arizona, bro?
He's going to the Super Bowl.
Who's paying for this?
Well, all the people's rake on underdogfantasy.com.
Oh my gosh. Are you staying in like the Super Bowl house? I don't know about any of this.
Yeah, but it was your idea to kind of have a collection of fantasy influencers all in one house.
Yeah, a BFS guy.
They are 100%. Giving you credit for that.
Right, so you have to be in the same house as Jack Settlement?
Unfortunately.
Well, he's breaking news. Anybody else of note in that house?
You know what? Details have been hard to come by. I know Rudman is going to be there. You know, we'll do a few cold plunges.
Rudman is hard enough to be doing cold plunges on vacation. Tell him, I want him to know I said that.
All right.
I want matching finger toe shoes with you.
I want David. Can we do something this year? Will you vow to do a cold plunge?
Sure. When have I ever shied away from doing what it takes to get this show to the mass?
What about the Swolecast? We all do like a polar plunge where we all run into some lake in the middle
of the winter.
Let's
go skiing. Let's do a ski trip.
You're saying let's, Chess, Liam.
Well, with guests, you know, like.
All right.
Hey, I fixed the mic difference between Davis. Yeah, I did the third for the show.
And you watch every week. I appreciate you.
Hang on.
Not every week.
Yeah.
Can I just, Davis, do you have this happen? Recurring invites
recurring,
for head-to-heads.
Recurring head-to-heads. What did these assholes do? They clicked the wrong button when they sent you an invite where it says, like, make this contest recurring.
It is auto-checked. I will say, when I sent my head-to-head to Pete, you had to uncheck the recurring.
Should I just pick off all these idiots?
Are they allowed to withdraw?
It'll be one of two if you accept. They won't be in it automatically, I believe.
All right, I thought this is.
But honestly, if you're being a true EV hound and we want to catch up with Karain, the EV of accepting all those and they do have a dead lineup or a reserve lineup in there is good enough to accept.
Okay,
Davis, you don't know. That's so thin. It is so thin that they have a
reserve lineup. The odds higher than zero of them having a dead lineup or them forgetting about it until after the slate locks.
Non-zero. Might have to play a little cash games
on Saturday.
It's a return of the cash game thing. Wild card weekend.
All right. Special thanks to Liam and Pat for being on the show. Davis and Peter, good to be back with you guys as well this week. We will be on. I mean, we're going to keep on going through the playoffs. We'll probably take a little bit of time off after football ends, and then we're back. We're back right there. We didn't get to 5K. We didn't get to 10K, but it's okay. It's just a constant evolving process, just like my mitten teams. So, with that being said, we'll see you later next time on the Swolecast and RotoGrinders.com. Peace.